And here, of course, in Luke 19, we have exactly the opposite. In Luke 19 and verse 42, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. These are crying matters. When he was come near to the city of Jerusalem, Jesus looked at it and he wept. He wept because he knew something. They shouldn't have been in perfect peace because he knows what he knew was not for their good. When he was on the way, a few days later, to be crucified, and the daughters of Jerusalem, that is the grown-up women, wailed for him because he was going to die, and they liked him. Perhaps these were even true disciples who loved him and whose sins had been forgiven. And Jesus says, weep not for me. Weep for yourself. For your children. And he didn't use the word, but in short, because the day of destruction is very near. And Jesus, the high priest of his people, weeps at the mercy seat over their lost state. Initially here, Jesus is speaking about the state of the nation Israel. He's talking about them as a nation state. But seeing that the nation state is always made up of individuals, and the things that can be said to invite a nation state to do, it's individuals that are going to do it. So we may apply this personally. And first I'm going to speak a little bit, only a little bit, about the nation state and then about modern men and women. He says to the nation, if thou hadst known. Now, they ought to have known about the Messiah, about the Saviour, and they ought to have recognised that the Lord Jesus was that very person. Their ignorance was culpable, blameworthy. More with some, the teachers, than it was with others. But none would be excused as sinners from not meditating about these things. And so Jesus is saying, you ought to have known. You ought to have understood. You ought to have recognized me. Even thou. Of all the nations, the hundreds of nations in the world, what nation has God taken out for himself? To be his people, to serve them. He loved them because he loved them. Of all people, of all nations, you should have known. It may not be true to say you can't expect the Greeks to know. You can't expect the other nations, the Romans, to understand? As Pilate said, am I a Jew? But you ought to have understood. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. And the force of that expression, I used to do a lot of bike riding, and the one day that I wanted it to behave itself, it didn't. On my way to do my finals exam by bike in Kensington, it got me a puncture. And in reverse, that is the meaning of at least in this thy day. All right, perhaps you didn't recognise me, and of course men and women would be lost because they didn't in 1000 BC. Perhaps you didn't recognise about the Messiah in 700 BC. Perhaps you didn't recognise about him in 400 BC. But in the day when the greater than Solomon is present among you, you ought to have recognized that the one who heals, the one who cures, the one who speaks such things, the one who interprets the scriptures, is the great God in heaven, the Son of God, at least in these few years that I'm with you. If thou hadst known, even now, at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace. So we fast forward to the gospel message in gospel days. And Jesus, looking over the generality of the state of the nation, as he looked over the generality of Jerusalem, and looking at his chosen ones before they're saved, behaving just like everybody else behaves, he weeps at the mercy seat. It's too awful for contemplation that men and women are so ignorant of what belongs to their peace. It's all right in theory, but if you know individuals, and the Saviour is talking about individuals who will, if they carry on as they are carrying on, are lost, how great is that loss? If the light which is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? And Jesus says through tears, in the preaching of the gospel, as ambassadors for Christ, we speak his words, if thou hadst known the things that belong to thy peace. No human being is without excuse. We've all seen creation. We've all seen the things that are made. We all know that it's beyond us to make any of those things, or a committee of the most intelligent men to make these things. We all know that there has to be a God, one supreme over all, who creates all things. We ought to have recognised that we're not very nice. We all ought to see the inborn, inbred failings of our nature and to recognise we're not what we ought to be. That we have, if you like, fallen from grace. That there is something about us that is fatally flawed and destructive. And we ought to have taken the remedial steps of seeking how this may be put right. If we had recognized what excuse does a man or a woman or a boy and a girl have for not recognizing the things that have to do with the Saviour. The same things belong to the peace of men and women who are not Jews 2,000 years later as belonged to the peace of the Jews of that day. Everyone needs the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to the Father by Him. It is our only good. Our mortality ought to dictate to us that we can't live forever, and that we surely should give account for the things we've done with this life. We expect others to give an account to us. All these things put together with the reasonable use of our minds should dictate to us that there is a God, that we are sinners, that we need a Saviour, that there is such a Saviour. If thou hadst known, even thou. It may be that we were brought up to attend worship with our parents, but now we don't do it. And Jesus would be justified in that instance in saying, even thou, of all people, you have no excuse. Of all people, you had a superb example and you've just let it go, you've drifted. As if it were a thing of no importance. If thou hadst known, even thou. It might be said to a very talented thinking man, such as you would have at GCHQ, such as you would have in the top levels of the civil service, such as you might have in the top level of the legal profession. You might say, even thou, of all people, your incisive brain should have told you that your incisive brain was given to you. There must be a greater incisive brain that you or all the others put together have. Even now. Never mind the others. But you have no excuse. At least in this thy day, we only get one life. If you are a football player or a sports person, to be top of your profession doesn't last very long. You may get there quite young at 21, 22, more likely at 25, and it might well be over by 32. The window is narrow of opportunity. But for all of us, it can be said that our day is our lifetime. But to make sense of the text, if thou hast known it, even thou, at least in this thy day, that they're gospel days. And the opportunity we have may not be there to us when we are older, if we lose our mind. So our day is a day when the gospel is preached. Our moments now, today is the day of salvation. Our moments now is the time when, if we're going to believe, this is it. you're a 50-year-old man or a 40-year-old woman, and you're not saved by 40 or 50, what evidence is there that the next 40 or 50 years will do anything different? You've got to take yourself in hand. This is your day. This is the time when the Saviour is preached. If thou hadst known, why didn't you know? You made excuses. There were things you preferred over God. There were things that gave you more pleasure than worshipping the Saviour. And the Lord's Day was given to you, Sunday was given to the nation, that you might give it over to meditating on these things. And what did you do? You played football, you played cricket, you went to a boot sale, you did a host of other things, cleaned the car, whatever. If you know that these things are as nothing compared with the eternity you're throwing away, the opportunity you're losing. If it's true that you cannot tell a recalcitrant teenager that now is the time to work and study for life, it's just the same with recalcitrant people. It's no good telling them that this is the time, this is their only time for being saved. And some of them say, I'd really like to be saved, but it's going to be later. But it isn't going to be later. The young couple who say they're sorry they can't come to church because they're just establishing their married life. Probably begins earlier when the man of the house says, as a student, he couldn't come to church, had to study for his exams. And then after that, it gets easier. Oh, we couldn't come now because we've got a child to look after. We couldn't come now. We've got two children, three children to look after. We couldn't come now because I've got to go and look after my sick mother. But once you start down that way of making excuses, it becomes a way of life. And something's gone wrong with priorities and thinking. You've got your priority wrong. Jerusalem had its priority wrong. When the Saviour was among them, that generation at least should have known. And living in gospel days, with the heritage there is across the whole world of the gospel, we should recognise that it's our turn. If thou hadst known, weeps the Lord Jesus, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to thy peace. Oh, it belongs to thy peace to have your sins forgiven. And the only way they can be forgiven is through Jesus and the shedding of his blood on Calvary and his perfections being counted to you. The things that belong to your peace are eternal life and walking with God. The feeling as you get older, that you're not bitter and it's the end of things and you have no idea where you're going, but to know that you're walking with the Lord. It is a matter to be at peace, to be at peace with God, and that you are reconciled to him through his Son. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. A well chosen expression. Hidden. Known, but not recollected. for the most part, not something that they never heard of or never understood or could never have understood. But like those Pharisees of old who knew concerning the scriptures that the Lord's day was for the Lord's people and was properly kept when works of mercy were done, the truth of it was hidden. It was there, all about the Messiah in the scriptures from the times that Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ and down the years. The things that were there, their significance was hidden. And the danger is hidden to intelligent men and women who refuse to use their intelligence in this direction. God, of course, hides things. The scripture speaks of searching for hid treasure. And we all know that searching the scriptures and meditating on every word in a verse sometimes, looking at it one way and looking at another, is the way to discover hidden treasure in the scriptures. And we never knew it was there, but it was hidden, but the Lord revealed it. But how terrible it is when there are things in life and things in the Bible and things of common sense that we know are there, but we don't recollect it. Just at the time when we need to know about the Lord Jesus, we've forgotten, even if we'd heard. Or we feel that now the Lord wouldn't have us, which is not true, because of what we've done, when the day of salvation is always present, always now, as long as we're alive. How many people have submerged childhood instruction at school, childhood instruction at home, gospel text on churches as they pass by, even the sight of churches at frequently intervals, and had an inkling at the very minimum that the things which are good and holy and eternal and that belong to their welfare lie there. They take no action. And they miss the point. And they get the priority wrong. Jesus weeps because he can see where they're heading. He can see where, without repentance, without reversal of current lifestyle, where they will go. And it will be to ruin. It will be to the ruin of their eternal soul. It will be to a life of misery in hell. An eternity. And the level of the worm that dieth not, of which Jesus speaks, is an intensity of unbearableness far greater than anything anyone knows here. The person who commits suicide because it's more than they can bear, are letting themselves in early for something a million times worse. He knew. And he knows. He knew that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed in the year 70. He knew that it was going to cease as a national entity. He knew it was going to cease in terms of its structure and of its culture, but they didn't know. They thought they'd go on forever like they were going on now. And people think they're going to go on. It's going to be the same. There's going to be no effective difference. They've lived from 30 to 40, and they don't expect to change between 40 and 50, or between 50 and 60, or 60 and 70, 70 and 80. The things that belong to their peace, the things that would save them, the things that would rescue them, having to do with the life that is in their souls, lie hidden, not unknown for the most part, but hidden, wantonly put aside, and therefore, in God's judgment, forgotten when the use of them would count most, when they were most needed. I have had the experience, which was there, of getting caught out by a riptide. I was only a few yards offshore, probably not much further than to the door there. And I wasn't in the rip, I was in my depths beyond the rip. But I knew there was no way, with the strength I had, that I could cross that rip. If I attempted it, I knew it would carry me away. Temptation's a bit like that. When we're being drawn into temptation, all the powers of resistance that we've had in our better times seem suddenly to be removed from us, to vanish. And inexplicably, if we neglect so great a salvation for the good part of our lives, just at that time when we want to lay hold on it, there's a good chance that we may find it slipping more and more out of reach. We didn't value it when we had it, and now we want it. There's a risk it may be beyond our clutches. Do you know the things that belong to your peace? Do you know what they are? Do you know how you should approach receiving them? That you should repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to him and turn away from sin and ruin, and frequent those times that the Lord gives us on his day to worship with brethren, to hear his word, that we should use those times of reading the Bible and of private prayer at home. Surely we know these things. Surely. But sometimes they're hidden. It's not hidden that we should pray every day, but other things push them aside and they become hidden. And Jesus spoke about the seed being sown and choked with weeds. It was hidden. The growth was hidden. It brought forth no fruit. And it's hidden to us. If we neglect so great salvation, and the destiny of failing here is immense, affects eternity, affects things beyond our power and our understanding. The Saviour is our peace. The Saviour is our mercy seat. Our condition is dire. He's here. These are gospel days. But not to be aware of our need. Not to be aware of the millions. Not to care about them and to give priority to other things. These will see our utter destruction and cause us to weep. Amen.